like, as a person, I tend to try to focus on, like, positive things in the present moment, and I think that kind of comes through in my songwriting, and that's actually something that I think my friend Han taught me. She's very into kind of going out for a walk and just really focusing on, like, the details of a plant or something like that, and really focusing on, like, the microscopic, I find, like, to be a very grounding exercise. And that's kind of where a lot of my songwriting comes from as well.
Yeah, I hear that in one of your songs where it's almost like this meditative process of, like, going for a walk, leaving everything else off your mind and just focusing on, like, the sound of the birds chirping and stuff like that. I do hear that.
Yeah, no, I think, is that Highfield you're talking about? Yeah, that's the song which is, I wrote shortly after I'd experienced some violent hate crime. And I was struggling with PTSD symptoms, I just wanted to go for a walk in the park, but I was, like, so afraid to leave the house. And it's kind of about, yeah, that kind of, like, yearning to, like, reconnect with nature and center myself in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then in that sense, almost like choosing to say, I'm still gonna go out, I'm still gonna, you know, go for a walk,
yeah.
and focus on myself, is almost like, in its own way, a defiant kind of punk thing.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Sometimes just existing is the most punk thing. Staying alive, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think you don't really realize it. You don't really realize how important you are, how important your life is, until you've lived through it and come out the back. I remember, like, just being like, there is no point in continuing a lot of days. And now I'm so glad that I lived through all of that, you know. Like, I have such a happy life now, and I really want people to see that, and see that trans people, trans women in particular, can survive and live happy lives as women out there in the world, you know.
Yeah, definitely, like, the visibility aspect of it.
Yeah,
I feel like that's also an important part of your album, because it's your project name, Jasmine for Tea, kind of comes from, for anyone listening that doesn't know, the whole Tea for Tea thing, where you're kind of, I guess, in relationships, seeking out trans community. But I feel like your album is almost like a Jasmine for the people kind of thing, where it's Jasmine for the trans community, Jasmine for your trans friends, for fans listening in, for the retail workers dissociating in a Tesco, for those looking after anyone having a breakdown in a Tesco. There's, like, a lot going on there, and I feel like, yeah, the community aspect of it definitely comes out there as well.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, here's my band with my food.
Amazing.
I think it's such an important part of why I've quit my job to do this, you know, and really, like, making a go of it. It's because, like, it's so important creating these kinds of queer spaces. I remember how important they were for me early in my journey, being able to, like, create a queer space where, you know, trans people are centered. It just feels so magical to me, and to be able to do it in, like, what isn't necessarily normally a queer venue or whatever, and, like, being able to just be like, no, we can be here and exist. And I think when it's very early in someone's transition or coming out journey in whatever way, it can feel very scary, like, trying to seek out these kinds of queer spaces. But I think it's very powerful for us just to be so visible and be like, no, we can go to a random city somewhere and create a queer space and enjoy community and meet our new friends, you know. It just feels very magical, and to be able to provide that for people is such a privilege, you know.
And to do that all over the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we're going to America after this, and then we're doing a few shows in Australia, and then going all around Europe, and finishing at home in Manchester, which will be really nice. really looking forward to that. And then, yeah, I have a few weeks off at the end of the year before going to Mexico in January. That's for our first Mexican show, which will be fun.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah, Brandy Carlisle invited us to play at her festival, which is, like, crazy.
So many different experiences. Like, I'm sure people come up to you after shows or before shows or whatever, and they kind of give you, like, a little piece of local queer culture as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, we've already had people be like, oh, let's take you out afterwards. Sadly, we have to get up at 5 a.m. to get a flight to DC. But yeah, I've had so many recommendations for, like, things to do in this town. Stefano's just down here is where we've got some food. But yeah, I have, like, a whole map of queer and vegan things.
Yeah, I saw that you posted about it yesterday.
Yeah, my manager Jen has been, like, really helpful with, like, compiling that for me from everyone's recommendations. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've been, like, exploring and, like, going to some of these places in the different cities. I had a great day off in Copenhagen, and I just, like, yeah, went and did, like, every single thing that everyone recommended, and I had, like, the best day. So if anyone's listening, please let me know your local queer or vegan recommendations.
I'm sure they're gonna pour in.
Yes,
and
please.
You get to do all the touristy stuff, but then also hit up all the queer spots. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I'm really hoping to come back to Toronto next year, so let me know any local spots that haven't been mentioned on the map yet
that you haven't already hit up in your 24 hours here.
Exactly. And I went to yesterday was Emily, my bassist's birthday. We went to the tower and we went and bought a she's really into the Blue Jays, so we got her a Blue Jays cap and we got her a Maple Leafs jersey. Mm-hmm. And she's gonna be wearing them on stage tonight.
And people love that kind of stuff.
Really? Okay, good. I wasn't sure, like, what the vibe would be. Like, I know a lot of queer people hate sports, so but Emily is
we're taking
is really
over everywhere
sports. Yeah, trans people belong in sports.
Yes.
Trans people belong in ice hockey jerseys.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have the whole, like, pride tape on the, like, grips and stuff, which is really awesome to see.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's good to see them moving in that direction too.
Yeah.
But also, this is your first headline tour, so it's the first time that, like, you're, like, people are coming for you this time.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they were doing before too, but, like, properly.
Yeah, we've done a headline tour in the UK before, but yeah, this is our first time touring a headline tour outside the UK. And yeah, it's wild. Like, I never would have believed you if you'd said, like, oh, you're gonna be playing a headline show in Toronto.
Like, in, like, a year or so. Like, it hasn't been much longer than a year since the Massey Hall show, right?
No, it was earlier this year. It was just a few months. And then, like, but just, like, in terms of just, like, how things have changed for me since coming out, like, I played some, obviously I toured with Lucy in 2018, but then after that I didn't tour because I got really sick with COVID, and before that with ME. So I kind of had written myself off, but yeah, to be, like, back on the road again is, like, it's so magical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy.
And I feel like it also makes every moment, like, you kind of appreciate it more almost because it could never have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's wild. I feel like I've been given a second life.
Mm-hmm. On your song Elephant, you've got the line, you know, now that I have a future, I can never be late.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, like, such a powerful little line.
I think when I wrote that, it was about this relationship that was kind of in its infancy, and we were both in kind of bad places, and we were both trans and trying to just be friends, basically. And it was me kind of saying, like, oh, well, now I know that, like, I have a future, I'm happy to wait for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like that can, I've seen people, like, respond to that in different ways and interpret that in ways, like, making it more explicitly about transition, which I think is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Look at this, it's all for you.
Songs of yours that also kind of do that. Like we were talking a little bit about Guy Fawkes' Tesco Dissociation, which is one of my favorite songs on the album. And I feel like it's an anthem of sorts for so many different things. It's like a bit of a mental health album, a bit of a dissociation anthem, a retail workers anthem, also in some ways like a dysphoria anthem too.
It's a song that I wrote about a time when I was completely dissociated, and my friend took me into Tesco and I didn't remember any of that, and it's about me recovering from that experience. It was because it was when I was really struggling with PTSD and would just not remember huge portions of my day every day, and that was terrifying. And then thinking about this kind of bright future, it's really nice it seems like such a specific kind of experience, but it's crazy how many people relate to it and how far it's reached, and how it's resonated with people all around the world in different walks of life. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, love that song. And one more song, one more really important song on the album is Woman. And I also love the intro that goes into it. You've got the song Transition with these choruses of voices, and they're, some of them are talking, some of them are singing, and then they just kind of unify into the song Woman. And then that's obviously a really important song as well. But I just love that little section of the album too.
Yeah, that was written by my collaborator Phoenix. Sadly, isn't playing this show because she's playing with Lucy.
Okay.
At All Things Go today. But she is actually joining us for our show at All Things Go on Sunday and then playing with us for the rest of the tour. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she did the musical arrangement for Transition, but it's using lyrics from different songs on the album, and I think it's really cool. That's the end of the album. It's actually the first song chronologically that I wrote out of all of those songs, and it was actually about coming out to my then spouse and how that conversation went. Spoiler alert, it didn't go very well. And yeah, it's about standing in my self-knowledge and having the confidence to be like, nah, I'm not gonna pretend anymore, I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah, it's a weight off your shoulders too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really nice way to kind of wrap up the album.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a deluxe version of the album that's just come out.
Yeah, so that's about it's dedicated to my best friend, Yulia, who I talked about before. She's sadly in prison at the moment.
Political prisoners.
Yes. She's in prison for 2 years without trial. She's been allegedly associated with people going into weapons factories in the UK and smashing up Israeli weapons. And the Israeli state has been interfering in the case and also several international humanitarian law firms have been trying to intervene, and the UN even has tried to intervene. She's called Yulia Trott, and she's one of the Filton 24 who are arrestees associated with an action on an Israeli weapons factory in Bristol in the UK. And she's just such a wonderful person. I went to visit her the day before I flew out here. It's just like, it's so horrible seeing how she's struggling so much on the inside. She's been kept in a maximum security prison with a whole lot of other political prisoners. They've all been like denied bail. It's a horrible misuse of terrorism legislation, and you can see that they're trying to do the same thing in the US at the moment with trans people. So it's the same playbook, and it's wild. I really want people to know that that's happening to her, that she's in prison for 2 years without trial, and that, you know, in the UK, over here, no one has civil liberties. They can lock up whoever they want, you know.
You don't realize how conditional it is until things start to chip away.
Exactly.
In Yulia's case, is there anything the people listening can do? Because I'm sure a lot of people
will. The main thing is, like, we're really struggling to pay for everyone to visit Yulia because she's in prison, at the other end of the country in the south, and all of her friends and family live in Manchester in the north. If you're able to donate to contribute to visit costs, it costs, like, £400, which I think is like $600-$700 a week to like organize all the visits and pay for trains, pay for hotels for people. If people are able to contribute, there's a website called freeyulia.com. That's Yulia with a Y-U-L-I-A. Freeyulia.com. If you're able to donate, that'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Manchester, now it's a city with a huge musical legacy, as everyone knows, but I feel like exploring the queer music scene over there is maybe a little less talked about thing.
It's kind of more of an underground thing. There's like a lot of really awesome queer cabarets over there. My favorite one is called Fatty Acid. That's run by a trans woman called Vivian, who was one of the first trans women who I met in Manchester. She plays in this really awesome like DIY punk band called Ether Mech. You should definitely check them out. They're like really awesome. They've actually just put out a new EP this year. There's just like so much awesome stuff going on. It's kind of a massive scene. Emily has just started a new project called Girl Teeth, which is like a queer emo band. It's like so fucking good. I've heard the recordings, big things coming. She also has like a solo project, just m.ily.rng, same as her Instagram handle. But she's like such a talented songwriter and musician as well. It's so cool to have her in my band. We've
also
organized
your whole band met in like the Manchester trans music scene.
Just kind of like the trans meetups and stuff like that, you know, and group chats. And actually there's a girl, Phoenix, who I play with, I mentioned before. We actually met at an Alex G concert in Manchester, so that was really sweet. It's a very like close-knit community. I'm trying to organize a fundraiser for both Yulia's Solidarity Fund and Trans Mutual Aid Manchester in December, which will be really nice, kind of return to my chosen family back home. And
like your grassroots scene.
Exactly. Yeah, it's such a beautiful little community. I have so many friends back home. It's so nice.
And also, there's a choir on your album, the Trans Chorus of LA, that recorded the choir vocals on some of your songs.
They're so cool. They are actually hopefully going to be performing with us in LA, which will be so cool.
I'll be so special.
We're trying to work that out at the moment, like logistically, how they're gonna like fit on the stage and stuff like that. They're really lovely. I don't actually know. It's not massive. We're playing in the Masonic Lodge, which is at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's like a really awesome venue. It's like a really historic building. Do you know Mal Bloom?
I've heard the name.
He's like a trans artist who's really awesome, and he's doing a very special solo set there. The trans community in LA is like incredible. Mm-hmm. It's massive, and it's really nice watching some of the videos from that recording session, because I've stayed in touch with a lot of the people in the choir. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice like seeing them being like, oh my god, I didn't know them then, but like I know them now. And it's very nice.
It sounds like it'll be a big group huddle over there too.
It'll be nice. And we actually put out a video for Women recently, and there's like
that.
Some clips of the choir in that. The musical director of the choir is a person called Abby, who is just like really wonderful, and they gave like this like really inspiring speech, and we featured that at the beginning of the video. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice way to include them as well.
And that video too was like a community effort, wasn't it?
That was everyone sending in like their own clips of themselves or like live videos of me and all of these things. It's just really nice. I have like just honestly, I love my fans so much. They're all so wonderful. The person who was just sitting behind us here, they were called Pauline, and they came and delivered a whole bunch of face masks for the audience to wear. To the venue just now, and they said that we could. Oh my god, there's a queue outside the venue already. They said we can like take whatever we want to like the next show to like give them out to the audience. So
I love that. Yeah. So thoughtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to talk a little bit about like some of the recording work on your songs.
Yeah.
Because I noticed like when you listen to it, it's super raw, super stripped down, where there's production on everything else. Like your vocals are kind of the center of the album. There's very light effects and stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I can sense that that's a bit of like that's a choice, right? To like focus the vocals and stuff like that. And I know from a lot of trans friends telling me too that it's like an important part of like your identity and all that stuff. And then to feature that as the focus of an album that's so much about trans community is also like, I'm guessing that's like a deliberate choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just it felt like a very collaborative project in the studio and since like that's kind of half of the reason that this is called the Tranicky World Tour is because like everyone kind of has an equal say, you know what I mean, in the project. We've had like so many incredible musicians be part of this and like come and go. It's been quite a fluid thing, it's been so lovely. I feel very, very lucky to be a part of this project, let alone be the face of it, you know.
Yeah.
So and like, you know, everyone who comes to the shows is part of that too.
Mm-hmm. But also I've heard a lot of people, and I agree with this, like talking about the vocals, because your voice sounds so like wonderfully sweet and everything on it too.
Thank you.
So do you like wonder about how that'll change as like you go on further in your transition? And
yeah, I mean, I think we're gonna stop soon.
Yes.
But yeah, my voice is changing a lot. It's like, I mean, you'll probably hear when I sing tonight, it's changed a lot since the album. It's part of it, and I think it's beautiful just kind of showing that, you know. Very happy to be like honest about it. It is quite a scary thing. I often feel quite vulnerable when I like talk about my voice or think about my voice, but I feel like I've kind of gone past that now, which I think is helpful. And yeah, just like really excited to see where it will go.
And what's coming up next for you? I'm guessing festivals next summer and stuff.
The next thing after this is the Mexico show, and then yeah, loads of really exciting things next year to be announced.
Okay.
So yeah, watch this space.
Look out for that. Well, best of luck for all the shows. Good luck for the tour.
Thank you.
Cannot
so much.
Wait to see the show today, the community and everything.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
I know who I am, and I right. It is now 9:30 in the p.m., and you are listening to CFR-CFM 101.9 FM, also available on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave. Good evening here at the end of September as we feel the fall creeping into our bones. And as I feel the end coming, three more shows to go, and then I am out of here. So I tried to do a show a couple weeks ago where I wanted to play all cassettes of old Kingston bands. Unfortunately, due to some technical issues, I was unable to do this, and it's kind of a bummer. I was sort of looking to rock those one last time. But that's okay. We're going to do a bunch of Kingston stuff tonight. It's going to be like all local things. I'm going to go, it's going to cover maybe about a 20-ish year period, I guess. Maybe 25, give or take. Closer to 20. So it'll be like from about just before the turn of the millennia to maybe like 2015 or so. So, you know, I'm just going to try and rip through as much as I possibly can in the next hour and a half. So to start off with the first little bit, we're going to have a little Ass Machine are going to be kicking it. There's a music video. I couldn't find the CDs. I know I have them at home. I just don't know where I put them. But fortunately, there is a music video for the one song they did, Come Clean, which was shot around town when the Scherzo used to be a thing, which is now the Iron Duke. And I think I'm in the video that they were there when they shot the one day. And they had like an audience and stuff. I remember you got free pints if you showed up. So, you know, good deal. Anyways, so I'm going to play that video in a bit. Well, the song. And you know, but I'm going to have to rock it from the YouTube. So thankfully it was there. But to start off with, one of the finest live bands I ever saw in Kingston ever, which was Jab. And I'm going to play their song, We Eat Monkeys, and then we'll just kind of take it from there. So here is Jab on CFRC.
boys and girls, practice it and it's what we'll do. Cause that authority, the finish, no one fights you. Ha! Sergeant, I'm like a star, taker, anyone ignore it. Hammond to the maintenance, if I lose my patience. Turn this with this industry, don't bring the people that you meet. Don't need parents, what's our come to deal with? Watch out, choice, boys and girls. Practice and it is what we'll do. Cause that authority will benefit no one but you, right?
Kill the brain and you kill the ghoul.
Thank you. with this Iron Fist.
All right, it is now 10 o'clock in the p.m., and you are listening to CFRC-FM 101.9 FM, also on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. That was I Hate Sally.